is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. And we're joined by the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy Senior Fellow, Cleo Pascal, to comment on incidents in the midst of this tragedy in Kabul that very much design a future that is unpredictable. Paragraph in Newsweek, two suicide bombings in Pakistan last week and last month have taken the lives of 11 Chinese nationals and cast doubt about the viability of the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, CPEC, as the $62 billion plan is known, which is the centerpiece of Xi Jinping's Belt and Road, BRI, his global infrastructure initiative. Cleo, a very good evening to you. How does Delhi see this attack in Pakistan? How does Beijing see this attack in Pakistan? Good evening to you, Cleo.
Good evening. So I think this is the beginning of an indication, overt indication for Beijing of how getting pulled into Pakistan and by Pakistan into Afghanistan may play out for them. It makes them a big, fat target. And I don't think that there's a huge amount of displeasure about that in Delhi. There are a bunch of different factions of the Taliban, and some of them are aligned with Beijing. Some are aligned much, much more with Islamabad, and some are independent. And they do not have control over the situation. So we're, you know, it's very hard to feel sorry for China, but you're dealing with two regimes, both Taliban and through Pakistan, what's going on there, and Beijing. Both of them are expansionist, long-term, hegemonic type ideologies, and there is no good way for it to turn out for either of them. Both of their goals are mutually exclusive. They both have ideologies that want to take over and control the world. In one case, sort of Wahhabi radical Islam, and in the other case, Chinese Communist Party hegemony. They cannot both win at this. So this is the beginning, I think, of starting to understand how this will play out for Beijing, and Delhi is not displeased.
The Balochistan Liberation Army claimed responsibility for one of the attacks. What is that, Cleo? Where did that come from?
It's a group of people who have been heavily oppressed within Pakistan. There's they're cross border as well. There's some in Iran, and they have suffered extreme repression under the Pakistan government. And they are a military, and they're not going to take it anymore. And I think there's a lot of sympathy within Indian civil society, at least if not beyond that, for their cause.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, the dominant narrative is that China is going to establish enduring relations with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and that the Taliban in Afghanistan need the Chinese money and diplomatic support. But what I'm hearing you say is that this, at best, is just a temporary alliance which must fall apart. Am I reading you correctly?
Yeah, I think that, you know, for the sake of the Taliban, from a Beijing perspective, is only useful as a vassal. That's how it would see. I mean, that's how the Chinese Communist Party views everybody that isn't the Chinese Communist Party. Eventually, they're supposed to become a vassal state. Whereas the Taliban, you know, have a very different view of what the world will be like. So I think that they are thinking they will second China. They'll get the money out from China. And, you know, eventually when the time is right and when they're strong enough and they've got all of that stuff, they will, you know, liberate the Uyghurs or do whatever they need to do. I mean, they both have extremely long-term time perspectives, but they have a vision for the world that is in complete conflict with each other because they're both hegemonic, exclusivist, and ideologically based. So there's no way that 10, 20 years this is going to continue.
Pakistan is a long-term adversary of India. I've been given interpretations that India is taking in refugees from Afghanistan, but is extremely cautious about what this means for the conflict with Pakistan. There is a way to interpret this that India is watching Beijing and Islamabad at loggerheads. And the tension is exacerbated by the inability to say who is responsible and who is not responsible for these attacks.
Yes, and I would say Pakistan is not against India because of anything else except that India is for the same reason Beijing doesn't like India, which is an example of a pluralistic, democratic, relatively successful society that makes a lie of their own rationales for existence. You know, one being an Islamic state is the only way that Muslims can live safely, which is clearly not the case for most of Muslims in India who are well integrated into society. And in the case of China, that communist dictatorship, authoritarian regime is the only way to run a country of a billion people. So it's not so much sort of India as India that Pakistan objects to. It objects to, you know, any country that where Muslims are doing fine because it undermines their rationale for their form of government. So that's kind of useful to understand because we tend to get what we don't want to do is get back to kind of the 90s where India gets rehyphenated to Pakistan, where it's a Pakistan-India thing. You know, we moved on where it became more about India-China. And then we, under the previous administration, we even moved on to where it became Indo-Pacific. And you could see India in this larger scheme of things. And now there's a danger of our strategic view of India getting pulled back just to Pakistan-India, which is very limiting and not helpful in terms of figuring out how to incorporate India into the larger fight, which is becoming even more essential, not just for India, but for the rest of the Indo-Pacific.
Very helpful, Cleo. Gordon, we have another question.
Yeah, the success of the Afghani Taliban is inspiring the Pakistani Taliban to go after its goals. And one of the goals of the Pakistani Taliban is either to get rid of Islamabad or to grab a lot of territory on the border with Afghanistan. And it seems that the Pakistani Taliban has identified China as its enemy. So my sense would be that Pakistan has a lot to lose with the rise of the Afghan Taliban. And this could really change the political balance in Islamabad. And that means could change the political balance in Central Asia as a whole. Where do you see all of this coming out?
Yes, so I think the Central Asia question is a very good one, and I think a lot of the Central Asian governments are extremely concerned about because they have had their fighters fighting with the Afghan Taliban, and not just learning how to fight, but learning how to run communities, how to govern, you know, how to actually be effective when they go back into their own Central Asian country. So the Central Asian issue is something that really needs to watch, which of course is why, you know, the Indians are talking about working more with Tajikistan and, you know, some of the other Central Asian republics because they have the same threat in this context. The thing about the Afghan Taliban is that what they're reporting out of India is there really is fractionalization, so it's not a cohesive whole. And some segments of it are working with Islamabad. Some are one or at least two are working with China, and then you've got these kind of more independent groups. So it's hard to know exactly how that's going to play out. And it's also very hard to know what's happening on the ground. India, for example, is being very quiet now as it tries to get its people out. But as it gets its people out and once it does that extraction, I think you're probably going to see much more active participation. I think there already is support for some elements on the ground that are trying to defend some of the vulnerable populations. They're particularly worried about the Sikhs, for example, in Afghanistan.
Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.